Good morning, church. We still got a bunch of stragglers coming in this morning, especially with the cold weather we woke up to with a nice little dusting of snow. Hope you guys were all as excited as I was for seeing that. And just a couple quick announcements to kind of get our day started. First things first, if you want to get our text alerts, our prayer request chain, all of that, we're moved over to a new system. You can still sign up out here on the Northex. We also have a couple We Believe booklets left. We're getting low on those, but if you need one, they're available right there for you. Also, the 2022 offering envelopes are out there. If you can continue using the same numbers you did last year, that would be greatly appreciated, making it much easier for everybody. On the other hand, too, the MRC conference is going to be in session June 23rd to the 25th, and going to be in New Beginnings Church of God for anybody who wants to go check that out. I will be there as well, so that'll be a good time just to fellowship and to kind of see what's going on within our denomination. There's also a ton of prayer requests. There's a sheet out there for prayer requests. I'd highly recommend you guys grab one. Pray for each one of those people on that list this week, just lifting them up to Jesus and allowing him just be that body together. There is something else on the prayer list that was discussed in the board meeting this last week that I want each of you guys to really start honing in and praying on. We talked about how important it is that we're reaching out to the youth of our community, how important it is that we set a precedence that shows that they're important to us as the next generation. As such, we are going to start here soon looking for a youth pastor. And what I'm asking for you guys is to start praying that God presents that right person and that we don't just have just anyone, but we have who God has intended for this position that can reach out to the kids in our community, not just inside of our church, and can show them who Christ is. So if you guys can join me in prayer with that, that would be absolutely fantastic as we maneuver through on what that looks like and so forth. So if there is any other announcements, miss anything? Good? Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come together this morning and we just want to thank you for the opportunity we have to have safe travels and to join together as a family and to worship and to praise you this morning. Father, I ask that you just watch over each person who is online or who is joining us in person or listening on the radio. We thank you for the fellowship that we have. Father, lift up each sixth person on the list that we have and even those that aren't mentioned. Father, we just ask for your healing touch within it all. Father, as we prepare for this new position possibly within the church to bring in a youth pastor, we just ask that you start preparing their heart and their minds for it, and that they may start searching you, and that we may have guidance and wisdom on who that person is as well, and that we're prepared to welcome them in and love them. Father, we also want to lift up our offerings today. Anything, and we thank you for these gifts that are being given to us. May we use them as good stewards. May we use them for your work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, so we are the voice in the desert, crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet calls, so lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee. Out of Zion's hill, salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet cross, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet cross, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. So lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Name of Jesus, from age to age you
reign. Your kingdom has no end. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore. You are victorious. You are the only King forever. Almighty God, we lift you higher. You are the only King forever. Forevermore. You are victorious. Princes and paupers, sons and daughters, kneel at the throne of grace. Losers and winners, saints and sinners, one day we'll see His face. We all bow down. Kings will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus. He is the love, unfailing love. He is the love of God. Summer and winter, the mountains and the rivers, rooster the Savior's name. Awesome and holy, a friend to the lonely, forever His love will reign. And we all bow down. Kings will surrender their crowns and worship Jesus. He is the love, unfailing love. He is the love of God. He is the love.
Okay, if the children would like to come forward, and they must have known I was all here to come running in the back. I'm like, they're all leaving, what? You should know I always give you something, don't I? Okay. Come on up, Damien, come sit down by these guys. spent Sunday school together. Don't be shy. Okay, what's tomorrow?
Valentine's Day.
Right. Do you guys have Valentine's parties at school yet anymore? No? Do you give Valentine's to your friends or anybody? Do you give Valentine's away? I used to always decorate sacks for Valentine's Day, and then people would come and put the Valentine's in there. And it was so exciting to open them up and read them. Oh, and they were so nice. My granddaughter was excited, and she's in, fifth grade. They're decorating a box this year instead of a sack. She's excited about that. Well, on my email, I got some copies of Valentine's. So I thought I would copy them out and use them for some examples. Okay, here's a dog, and it says, "You're positively awesome." And here's another. This looks like a wolf. "I will always love you." And we got a sheep here. "You are woolly great." A cow. "I think you're moveless." And a bee, "You're as sweet as can be." You know what that is?
I'll try to read it.
No, do you know what that animals? It's a roadrunner. Do you ever watch the cartoons with Wile E. Coyote and Roadrunner? This is a different one. You want to read it?
"You're less running through my mind all day."
Good job. My last one. It's a rabbit. And it's, "I'm hopping, you'll be mine." Okay, be mine. That's a nice thought. You see that on candies and in cards, be mine. Because we want you to be our good friend and be, but you can't really be yours, right? Your friend can't be yours. They can be your friend. But you know, who can we belong to? Do you know who can? Right, Jesus. We can be his because he gave his life for us so that we can be his, so that we can live with him forever. You know, our Bible verse is, now this is what the Lord says, "Don't be afraid because I have saved you. And I've called you by name, and you are mine." Isaiah 43:1. We belong to him. So I made some Valentines, and I got some little Valentines for you guys. And instead of "be mine" on them, I wrote "be his." So before we leave, I will give you one of those, okay? And there's a couple goodies in there. Okay, let's have a prayer, okay? Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to pay the price so that we can belong to you. Amen. Okay. You want to come get a sack?
Can I have one for my cousin?
Yeah, because she wasn't in here. I got plenty. There you go.
Other cousin Sammy.
Thank you so much for that this morning. Awesome. Well, good morning, church. I have some exciting things we're going to start off with this morning. I want to start off by having Brock and Melissa Johnson join me up here, Marvin Starzak, and Larry and Darla Hubbard. This morning, we're going to get the great pleasure of having new members join this body. Yeah. To qualify for church membership, you need to have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, experiencing a new birth and makes you a new creation in Christ, Jesus, and His blood to do the will of God. I want to share a quick passage with you guys before we get into some of the other things. Acts 2:42 through 47 tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple, broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their numbers and to those who were being saved. We who are members of Mount Carroll Church of God do mutually and solemnly covenant and agree for the promotion of welfare and the salvation of others, the glory of God, to unite in church fellowship, to live in Christian peace and love, and to walk and live according to the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, as He has revealed the same to us in His holy scriptures, which contain, as we believe, the only authoritative rule for Christian life and faith. And also do solemnly promise to patiently to submit to the order of God's house, that is, to the government and discipline of His church, and cheerfully obey the rulers and office bearers who are and have been placed over us through the Lord. I have a couple of questions for you guys. Okay? First one, have you been born again, accepting Jesus as your Savior and Lord? Do you commit your life to follow and serve the Lord with all your life? If so, answer, I have and I do. Do you accept the Bible as the inspired word of God to make your guide for your daily living? And do you promise to follow His teaching faithfully? If so, answer, I do, and may God help me. Do you promise to support the church faithfully by your prayers, your presence, your God-given talents, and material possessions as the Lord blesses you and prospers you? If so, answer, I will, and may the Lord grant me grace to do so. Grace to do so. If you guys can face the congregation. Now for you who are members of the church, I have a question for each of you. Do you promise to love and support our new members, showing them brotherly love and welcoming them into our family, remembering that we are united with Christ? If so, signify by standing. As the pastor of this church and behalf of the entire family of Mount Carroll Church of God, it is with great joy that we receive you into fellowship. May the gifts of your life and experience in Christ unify with ours to complete our worship service to God. May the God of peace bind us together in true covenant, love, and service. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the opportunity we have to join together as a church family and just to continue watching our family grow. Father, may we be blessed with these new members as you've provided them, and may they be blessed with us as well. May we grow together in love and through your Son. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's for you guys. Thank you very much. And this is for you guys. Welcome, guys. Well, good morning. I don't know how many of you guys knew that was happening this morning, but that was quite exciting, right? Getting to see some new members join. And here's the cool thing. That was man's way of affirming what God's already done. That each one of those people here were already part of our family. And we were just affirming what God has done. You guys ready for the Super Bowl? No? Rams versus the Bengals. You know, you guys got your teams picked out? Get your food picked out. And this year, to be honest with you guys, I'm going to let you on a little insight. I have no idea who's going to win. I have no idea who I'm even cheering for today. But, you know, someone will. And for you gentlemen, just a quick reminder, absolute no excuse with the children's lesson. If that wasn't a tip, here's your final tip. Tomorrow's Valentine's Day, okay? To get that done, because this may be the last Super Bowl you watch if you don't think about that for tomorrow. But I do know one thing, though, is today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and what we believe about him and the how he's the ultimate fan of God and of you and I. So let's say a quick word of prayer, and we'll get to it. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this morning. I want to thank you for the opportunity we have to dig into your word as a family. Father, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit and the gifts that he's given us. Father, I ask that this morning that it be your words that are spoken and not mine. Father, I ask that we just open our hearts and our minds to hear you this morning. And most importantly, Father, as well as if I say anything that is not of you, I pray that it falls on deaf ears. In Jesus' name, we pray all of this. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the third and final one of the Godhead. Over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at who God is. We spoke how he chose to reveal himself in three equal, yet distinctly different forms. We have looked at the Father who initiated creation, and he directs everything. Last week, we looked at the Son, the one who became fully man, yet was fully God. He, under the direction of the Father, came down to become man, to do what none of us are capable of doing, to live that perfect life, to make that ultimate sacrifice for you and I's life. He made a way for us to return back to the Father. This week, though, we're going to be looking at what's often one of the most misunderstood of the three. The Holy Spirit. For some reason within Christian society, there seems to be two main views of the Holy Spirit. On one hand, you have a group that doesn't give them much thought. They look at who the Holy Spirit is and the role that he plays in our walk, and he's primarily mentioned only as the lesser of the three, given no more than a little bit of thought in the act of baptism and a slight mention in different contexts when discussing God. But on the other hand, you have a group of people who have inflated the Holy Spirit to the point of almost overpowering the other two in the Godhead, keeping most of their theology based on him and what gifts they can gain through him. In some more extreme cases, they're even adding attributes that are found nowhere in the Bible to the Holy Spirit, basing their thoughts and theology more on feelings and wants than what God actually says. So the question you may be asking this morning is, who is the Holy Spirit? Well, the Bible tells us, we know that the Holy Spirit is God, and he's equal to the Father and Son. Let's just get that right off the base. He's the same. He is God himself. He's been active since before creation. He's always existed. We see him in the second verse of the Bible in Genesis 1:2. You're going to see him already in play. It says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the water's depths, and the Spirit of God who was hovering over the surface of the waters." Some people oftentimes think of the Holy Spirit as simply a New Testament thing, when the truth is, he was active in the Old Testament as well. We just read in Genesis how he was there right from the beginning, but there's more. You know, as the tabernacle was coming into play and as they were building this for God, it tells us in Exodus that God's Spirit filled up the artisans who were appointed to build the different parts of the temple and the things to be in their tabernacle. It was through the Holy Spirit that the prophets of the Old Testament wrote the 39 books that we have that we call the Old Testament. It was the Holy Spirit who guided all of it. The Bible talks about the Holy Spirit coming down upon the people, and it talks about it already in the Old Testament. Isaiah 44, verse 3, it tells us, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and the streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offsprings. Now, he wasn't just talking about the Jews. In Joel 2:28, it tells us, after this, I will pour out my spirit on all humanity. Then your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams. Your young men will have visions. Meaning God's going to send the Holy Spirit to all people. Not just this little bit. This is all part of God's restoration plan for the entire world. When we read Matthew 3:16 and 17, we see the Holy Spirit being present in Jesus' baptism. He went up immediately from the waters. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased." It's all three being displayed at the same time. When Jesus was still here on earth, he told his followers that after he left, he would send them another. In John 14:16 through 17, it tells us, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Verse 17, it tells us, "He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive him because he doesn't see him or know him. But you do know him because he remains with you and will be in you." You see, the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us who have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior. He's inside of us. And we know that the Bible tells us that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit revealed himself in a new way, just as Jesus came and showed us the new covenant. There was a promise that after he would leave, when Jesus left, he would send the Holy Spirit. And in Acts 2, we see it going into effect. Acts 2 passages, verses 1 through 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like that of a violent rushing wind came from the heavens, and it filled the house, and they were all staying," where they were all staying, "they saw tongues like flames of fire that separated and rested on each of them. And then they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them." This was the start of a new ministry. This was the ministry of sanctification. This was the start of what we often call the church. The gifts of the Spirit starting to be poured out on everyone. As Johnny pointed out a couple weeks ago, that the Holy Spirit is the giver of good gifts, and that he gives good gifts. We know that the Father directs the Holy Spirit to pour out the gifts on each one of us that love God and have accepted that free gift of salvation through Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 12, it lays out the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. If you've ever questioned what they were, they're laid out right here. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God works on all of them in each person. Verse 7, it says, "I manifested the Spirit's," "the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good." In 8, it says, "No one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit to another, a message of knowledge by the same Spirit." In the next verse, "To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the performance of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretations of tongues. One and the same Spirit is active in all of these, distributing to each person as he wills." Did you notice something? We don't all get the same gift. Instead, we get what God wants us to have. He poured out the Holy Spirit on each of us. But see, when we all have unique gifts, and when we join together as the body of believers, we make up the body of Christ. And let me tell you a little something. If each person practiced the gifts and took the gifts that the Holy Spirit has equipped you with within this body of believers, we would need for nothing. God would provide through that alone. Because see, it's through the Holy Spirit that we're joined together as the body of Christ. This morning, we welcome 5 new members to our local church family. Today's welcoming of these new members was man's way of confirming what the Holy Spirit has already done. Each of these new people are already part of our body here. But they each bring their own gifts, their own talents, into this body to better equip this church family to do the work that God has called us to do and how to reach out to our community. With the Super Bowl being today, I wanted to give you guys a little example of the church. When we think of a football team, each of us is a player on that team. Not everyone plays the same position or has the same talents on a team. In fact, if they did, they'd be the worst football team in history. Think about it. Can you imagine a team of nothing but kickers? That'd be horrible. You don't have a kicker as a lineman. They get creamed. But instead, we have a bunch of different people with different gifts coming together, sharing their talents and supporting each other, working as a team to achieve their goal. If one position on the team is missing, then it affects the rest of the team's ability to achieve that goal. It's only when the team comes together, each playing out their part, do they win the game. But when they're fighting amongst each other, they're disagreeing amongst each other, they'll get nowhere. It's through the Holy Spirit that we're all called to our respective ministries and positions within the church, working together to make up the body of Christ, each with their own calling. I know some of you guys have a passion for children. Some of you have a passion for men's or women's ministry. You might feel called to work with the homeless or with people who are in a downward cycle of life. Some people are called to encourage others, and some people for prison ministries. And that's all awesome. And it's all needed. And what we're called to do is to get together as a body of believers and encourage each other for our individual roles. And the Holy Spirit's the one who enacts all of that and draws us together. We need to lift each other up and work together. So the Holy Spirit binds us. The Holy Spirit's also our counselor. He does a lot of things. We're only scratching the surface this morning of who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. In John 14, 25 through 26, Jesus tells us, "I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you." Verse 26, it says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you." You see, the Holy Spirit was sent to guide each of us. He's the one who reminds us of Jesus' words. Have you ever been reading the Bible and suddenly you learn something new? Something that you have read over and over again throughout a passage, time and time again, but suddenly there's something new that's been revealed in that process. That's the Holy Spirit working in you, revealing to you what you need to hear from God's word at that moment. He brings God to our life. He's what brings God to life in our lives. He's the one who stirs that desire within each of us. The Holy Spirit is there for those moments when you're not sure what to do. He's that still small voice inside of you, guiding you, giving you direction, convicting you, and restoring hope in you. Have you ever cried out in prayer? Have you ever had such a heavy heart that you could no longer knew what to say or pray? Have you ever begged God for something to the point that you just ran out of words? You're at your weakest moment and you feel lost. That's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. The Bible tells us in Romans 8, 26 through 27, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groans, and who searches our hearts and knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. See, we can count on the Holy Spirit to search our hearts and to tell the Father just what we need, even when we're not sure what we need ourselves anymore. We can count on him to always be there for us and to intercede on our behalf to the Father in heaven, handing out that wisdom and those moments. So one more thing I really want to make sure to point out to you guys this morning when it comes to the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit's the one who calls us back to the Father. He's the one who points out the need we have for a Savior. You see, when we live away from Jesus, when we don't have the Holy Spirit, we find so much trouble in our lives that we become overwhelmed. In Galatians 5, it outlines and tells us that if we live by the flesh, we're going to run into problems. Verses 19 through 21, starting at verse 19, the works of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I am warning you about these things as I warned you before. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, none of these things really sound good, do they? They don't sound like a life I want. Nothing in this life seems fulfilling on that list. But you see, when we turn back to the Father and we live with the Holy Spirit guiding us, we get the gifts of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, 23 to 24, sorry, the fruits of the Spirit, not gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The law is not against such things. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Man, that sounds a lot more appealing, doesn't it? Love, joy, peace, patience. This is why the Holy Spirit calls us back when we turn to find that love, that joy, that peace, to help restore us back. Have you ever met someone who's going through a really tough time in life? Yet they seem to always keep this smile on their face. Like no matter what the world seems to throw at them, you see a smile on their face and they're thanking God for the little things. See, it's because they got the Holy Spirit within them. He's given them that joy and that peace in the middle of that storm. We don't get that by simply saying, yes, Jesus is real, or saying you like the idea of God. We get that when we get to the point that we repent and turn back to him by accepting the free gift of salvation that comes through Christ alone. That's how we get that. I'm going to tell you guys a story this morning. Story about me. I was raised in church growing up. We went to church almost every Sunday. I was sent to a Christian school for the first several years of elementary school. And I was called into ministry at the age of 13. I even gave my first sermon then. By the time I hit 15, though, things in life were not going the way I wanted. I was getting angry, and they weren't the way I wanted. By the time I was 16, my parents were divorced. And I turned my back on God. And I started to pursue things of this world, and I wanted nothing more to do with God. I started to live by the flesh. The outline in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, the moral impurities, promiscuity, idolatry, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, drunkenness, carousing, any of those things, that was me. That was the life I lived. I chased the things of this world, held nothing back from my own flesh desires. And no matter how much I chased them, None of them brought me any joy. None of it brought me any peace. There may have been momentary lapse of it where I thought I was experiencing something, all for it to go back to bleak. And it just kept pushing me further into depravity. As I started to get older, I got tired. I got tired of the life. Because let me tell you something this morning. I don't care how good the world makes it look, it ain't good. You see all these celebrities who are talking about how wonderful these different aspects are, and if you only live a certain life, you're going to be awesome and having it going their route, but yet you see them in and out of rehab every other week. The flesh lies to you. The world lies to you. And I started to remember the things I was taught at a young age. See, there was this heaviness in my heart that I couldn't shake. There was this nudge within me. And I even started going back to church every now and then. Now, I would be the one sitting all the way in the back pew, making sure to get out of there as fast as I could. I might put a smile on and act a certain way. I mean, I did grow up in the church. I knew how I was supposed to act when I walked into a church. But I was still empty. I started to read the Bible. Night after night. By 7 o'clock at night, I think my roommate thought I lost my mind. Because by 7 o'clock at night, I had my door shut and I was in there and I was reading. And I just kept reading. It was like something was calling me that I couldn't shake, but the more I read, the more I wanted. Until finally, one night, I couldn't hold back anymore. And I cried out. I wasn't even sure what to say. But see, the Holy Spirit was pursuing me. And that night, He gave me exactly what I needed to say. And He wrecked me. And I remember I turned back to God. And I remember that call that He placed earlier in my life. And I told God if that's what He wanted me to do, that He would have to make a way. If you ask God to make a way, warning, He makes a way. In 2 months, I celebrate 12 years since that day. He has filled me with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He's filled me in ways I can't describe. Has it been a perfect walk? No. And not because of God. My own failure still. I'm still in flesh. We all are. But we're made new in Christ. And we pursue Him daily. You see, when you turn your life back to God, when you accept Jesus in your life, and you allow the Holy Spirit to live in you, it doesn't mean life gets perfect, but it means each day gets better. And each day you get more of Him. You will slip up. You will make mistakes. But the Holy Spirit's going to be right there nudging us to get back into place, guiding us if we allow Him. This morning, if I just want to tell you, if you lived a life away from God, maybe you've been the one slipping in and out of church in the back, trying not to be seen. Maybe you grew up in church, but you ran as an adult. I want you to know, though, that still small voice inside of you, that heaviness that you're experiencing, the conviction of your sin, it's the Holy Spirit calling you back. He's pressing into you. See, He's pressing into you, pointing you towards the cross to see Jesus. And Jesus has made a way for you to return to the Father, back into community with him. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's all part of God's bigger plan. And it should be exciting that we're all part of it and we've been called to it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for sending the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Father, we know that you're a good, good Father, and you've been calling us back through your Son and using the Holy Spirit to convict us. Father, I know he's been pricking at all of our heartstrings, encouraging us to look to Jesus. And I want you to know, if you're here this morning and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heartstrings, if you're tired of trying to walk this world alone, if you're ready to shed the weight that you've been carrying, never feeling like you know the right direction to turn, I want to give you an opportunity to turn back to our Father, so not go another day without him in your life. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're ready for that free gift of salvation, let today be that day. And I want to encourage you to raise your hand and take that first step if you're ready for that. And if you've raised your hand, I want to offer you to come on up and we'll pray with you. This is between you and God. The Bible tells us that all we have to do is confess with our mouths that we are sinners and accept the free gift of salvation through the Son, Jesus. Jesus has made a way for you to return to the Father. And I pray that God just blesses you this week and that you may continue to look to him for guidance and wisdom, and that you may feel the love that our Father has for you. And you are made new. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me know.
your healing power. Breathe life and make me whole, and let the peace of God let it rain.
Thank you guys this morning. May God bless each one of you guys as you go out this week. May you keep in mind the work that the Holy Spirit is doing in each one of our lives. May we be thankful for the way he binds us together. And may we listen to that still small voice inside of each one of us. God bless. Have a great week.